ways to get the main way to create money with the loans that they're giving out daily. That means our money is dead, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder then why the middle class is going under when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Henry Wren Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:30 to 12 o'clock to about 1:30. And also today we will be at the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup at 3 o'clock at Connect Bradenton. But this is your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. Well, this week, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency rally, but takes a rest. But Bitcoin futures trading volume spiked. But is the Mt. Gox trustee about to dump $165 million of Bitcoin on the market and rain on everybody's parade? A consulting firm predicts $2,500 Ethereum by year's end. And France, of all places, lowers taxes on retail cryptocurrency traders by two-thirds. Surprising there. And Charlie Lee, not so surprising, says selling his Litecoin feels like a mistake now. But he still would do it. I guess that $320 peak that he sold at overcomes a lot of second thoughts. Well, we have a lot going on this week. As I said, Saturday, today at 3 o'clock after the show, would love to see you at Connect Bradenton for the Bradenton Cryptocurrency and Bitcoin Meetup. Kara Haas, who you'll hear from in just a little bit, is going to be presenting there, as well as hopefully as many of the crew as we can get there. Also, we want you to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, all the podcast sites, pretty much whatever you prefer. You can find it on demand if you're not listening live. Well, let's see who's here today, because it's always a little bit of a guessing game and a surprise here. Addition to the Henry Rain Show here, financial woman Kara Haas, the blockchain CPA. Good afternoon, Kara.
Good afternoon, Henry. Great to be back. Thanks so much.
Yes. And we have, actually, it's not so much a surprise. We've got the same people we had last week. What's surprising is who doesn't show up these days. Where?
So you say that only proves that I'm insane.
Of course, it's Augie. Good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon, Henry. Your regular lunatic is here. Regulated away.
Or irregular lunatic, I guess.
Sometimes irregular.
Day of the week.
Sometimes not regular. Sometimes.
And rounding it out. Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug 1.
Good afternoon, Henry. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I should have said co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, too.
That's correct.
Your one-stop shop or website for all things trading, Forex, stocks, gold, commodities, and, of course, cryptos.
Yep, that's absolutely right. And I tell you, there's a nice setup in silver this week, it looks like. It's starting to set up nicely. So I think Augie may get in on that trade.
You know, I have to say, Andy found out that Kara was going to be here again. He was very excited about that, as everybody's very excited about that. But I have
You're not
going to
tell him I took a shower now, are you?
Well, actually, that impresses me a lot less than the fact that you were here early, had your audio set up, and your laptop booted up. And, wow, we're just...
The shower's impressive.
Well, that's because you have to sit right beside him there.
Hey, that's a funny story. I got a funny story to tell you real quick.
Go ahead.
Yesterday, I was sitting in there. It was just a long day. I'm sitting down, working. I had a last-minute errand to run that I had to get to the printer and then out to Sarasota before 5 o'clock. I jump up and grab the car keys, and I start walking out the door, and my daughter goes, "Dad, you're not leaving like that." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" I was still in my underwear. I had my boxers on. If you've ever had that dream of you walking outside and I actually almost experienced it.
I've never dreamt about you out in the public in your underwear.
And well, you're one of the few, Henry. You're one of the few.
We
We dream about you all the time.
We're looking forward to the calendar. It's 2 months. You get at least 2 months.
You know, I guess it's host prerogative here, but I think we have to bring Kara on the WhatsApp Crypto Crew app. Are you on WhatsApp?
I can be.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, do we have to have Lennart put her on, or do we have the autonomy to do that? He created the group.
I'm sure Leonard's listening out there, so Leonard, get her signed up.
Well, we'd probably have to know her phone number.
Oh, that's not going out on the air. Oh, no, no.
941.
Not a chance. Okay, well, we'll work on that. We have a lot coming up here, so let's get started.
Hey, I've got news for you.
Certainly, NASDAQ would consider becoming a crypto exchange over time. Once you look at it and say, okay, do we want to provide a regulated market for this? Certainly, NASDAQ would consider
the
becoming.
Dream would.
ICOs, to me, they really do need to be regulated. I do believe that the SEC is right, that those are securities offerings and need to be regulated as such.
Well, that was Adrena Friedman, that she is the CEO of the NASDAQ, saying words that many of us were happy to hear, not sure if we would ever have heard them, at least not this quickly. But she said NASDAQ would consider becoming a crypto exchange over time, and that was on CNBC on Wednesday. A key roadblock to the NASDAQ and other institutional investors is regulation, which really was a topic this week in a lot of media, a lot of financial media, of course, a lot of crypto media. And the talk was from people on Wall Street, people in the financial industry, and people actually in the crypto space saying, yes, yes, regulate us. Andy, you follow all things from SeekingCryptos.com. What does this mean that the NASDAQ is thinking about this?
Well, I think they're probably looking to buy one of the existing exchanges. And then move from there.
A little foreshadowing there for the next year. That's good.
Yep. So, hopefully it'll be, Bittrex, if we're lucky. But anyways, no, I think we mentioned last week that it'd be great if somebody like NASDAQ stepped in and took over the space and allowed the trading because the volatility's there, but you have nothing backing up. There's no transparency, and NASDAQ brings that transparency and brings regulations to the space, and you know your money's safe, and that is a critical thing when you're trading these exchanges, is knowing your money's safe.
No more pump and dump, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, pump and dump happens in liquid markets like gold and stock markets, let alone something like the cryptocurrencies. But
not going to bring the government down, right?
No, it wouldn't bring the government down. I mean, I don't even think it's an hour of military spending, the whole crypto space.
Well, that would be.
Well, speaking of foreshadowing, the meetup at 3 o'clock, one of the topics that we put on the agenda was an overview of exchanges. And in particular, one that is mentioned in this NASDAQ article, on Wednesday the company announced, that would be NASDAQ, a collaboration with cryptocurrency exchange Gemini, founded by early Bitcoin investors Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss. The deal gives Gemini access to NASDAQ's surveillance technology to help make sure the platform provides a fair and rules-based marketplace for their own participants, Gemini CEO Tyler Winklevoss said in a statement. Now, this also follows the fact that the Gemini exchange provides data, is it to the Chicago Board of Options Exchange or the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for their futures?
I think both of them. I think at least the CBOE, but I think they also, if there's something wrong at the end of the when the contracts go to expire, then they take a group look, a picture of the other exchanges. And I think Coinbase was actually upset about that, and the CEO mentioned it on CNBC at one time that they need to get paid for that.
Yes. Well, somebody managed to work out a deal.
Yeah.
I think the former head of TD Ameritrade could do a little deal cutting.
He would think he'd be able to run an exchange
maybe
better.
Maybe somebody will buy him that Art of the Deal book that I've heard some people talking about.
Or how to set up an exchange correctly.
Well, he didn't have to set it up. He just had to come in and run it.
No, but how they did handle the whole Bitcoin Cash thing, and you know, and then you know, big announcement coming on CNBC.
You are nothing but great foreshadowing today. What'd you do? Go through all this show prep and read it, and you're like setting up all. You got your computer. You're on. Your headset was on when we started. You're looking at. You're foreshadowing. It's like you know what's coming next.
Yeah, I actually looked through through the script today, the rundown. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for the proper terminology there, Augie. I actually looked at it today. Normally,
you don't
I'm
have to
you know,
be perfect the first time you try this.
And it's been a long week, you know.
Well, we're going to come back to Gemini in just a second, but while we're on the stream of consciousness here, because I am giving credit. We shouldn't do this because Sabine hasn't been here for a couple weeks, and I can just imagine how much you're going to be on top. You're going to have this place cleaned and dusted when we come in, when both Sabine and Cara are going
to
be here.
Oh, my God, that's a double date. I'd love to be on.
Well, we'll find out about that more in the weeks to come.
More than you can handle.
Hey, for 3 minutes, I'd be handling it.
Maybe less.
I might not make it there, Augie. Let's just be honest, huh?
Bob Lasseter was a great talk show host based out of Tampa Bay. He went to Chicago for a while, but came out. He once did 20 minutes of silence on Tampa Bay radio, and people stay tuned in. But I'm tempted to go to silence right now.
Oh, there's no way we can let that happen.
Bob Lasseter was not a very handsome man, but one of my best friends who died at the age of 50 sounded exactly like Lasseter. Same.
You're talking about Glenn.
Pardon?
You're talking about Glenn?
No. No. You don't know this person. His name's Tom Kleiss. He wrote The Last Western.
No. Wow. Glenn is a mentor of a lot of... Glenn Boniker is a mentor of a lot of people in the local talk radio scene. All right. So, digressing there too far on the stream of consciousness, I was trying to latch on to when we were talking about Cara and let people know in the second half of the show there is a new feature that she has developed for us called Troubled Tokens. And she will also be reprising that at the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup later. But before that convoluted digression, which in my mind when I started was a straight line, we were talking about cryptocurrency exchanges, how Gemini was collaborating with NASDAQ, how they were collaborating with the futures market, and they also announced that the digital asset exchange run by the twins will be introducing a service that will allow investors to make big trades outside of the firm's orders book. The service will allow traders to buy or sell large quantities of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies that will compete with companies that cater to large institutional investors. Blockchain companies have recently popped up in Hong Kong, Australia, other markets to meet demand from hedge funds and similar institutional wallets. One such service, Circle Trade, which recently bought the American exchange Poloniex, which Circle Trade has received startup money from Goldman Sachs. But Goldman Sachs, we're not thinking about a trading desk. Goldman Sachs is already directly involved in more than $2 billion a month in crypto assets. Due to go live on 9:30 Wednesday, New York time, April 12th. Well, I think they started a little bit late because this was actually an article I saw after April 12th. The Gemini block trading service will electronically broadcast orders to participating market makers simultaneously, company said. Trade information will be published in Gemini's market data feeds 10 minutes after the transactions are executed, and it exchanges that list of contracts in a so-called central limit order book. Andy, you're going to have to really interpret this for us. Are useful for trades under certain sizes, which is determined by underlying demand, whether for corn futures or IBM stock.
Good. Yes.
How does that all work? What did I just say?
The central limit order books is a newer thing. The old one was the RFQ, request for quote. And what that is for large firms, especially in non-liquid markets, such as the cryptocurrency markets. Let's say, you know, Augie over here has 10,000 bitcoins he wants to sell, but yet you don't want to sell it on an open exchange because it would obviously, you know, it would absolutely crush the market, like we saw in Japan when the attorney for Mt. Gox sold all those bitcoins. So what
more
you do
on that to come.
So what you do is you send out a request for a quote, and you see what market participants. It's normally done between dealers and swap, you know, for doing swaps and stuff. Yeah, it's almost like an auction type thing. And so I would send out a request for quote, and Augie would say, "Hey, I'm a buyer at 9,300 of, you know, 10,000 bitcoins," and you would say, "I'm a seller at 9,100 or 9,500 of 1,000 bitcoins." You don't know if I'm buying or selling. You just know I have a quote out there, and then it brings, it's pretty much like an auction, and then I can go, okay, I'll take your buyer or your sell.
Okay, so if you look on some of these exchanges, you can see the bid and the ask. You know, they're stacked up. The bids are in green, the ask in red.
Red, yep.
Yeah. So, and you'll see them flicking on and off, and there may be some space between them. Sometimes they line up. Exactly. So if I were just a retail trader and I'm looking at all that, and then all of a sudden, let's say that whatever we were talking about, the Bitcoin was at 9,350, and then all of a sudden between the two people there was a block trade at 9,200. And under the old system, all of a sudden it's 9,350 and we just see 9,200. Is correct?
Yeah, no, not really. What it is you have your market, market spread. You have your bid and your ask.
Before the new,
yes.
How would it have?
Well, this is an existing way they do things. This is how the old way they do it. And so, whenever somebody wants to sell a big block that would actually move the market, instead of putting it out on the open market where everybody can see it, and let's say I'm going to sell, like they mentioned, IBM. I'm going to sell 10,000 shares of IBM, which would move the market. What they would do, obviously, people see that trade coming in and they position against it. So when you were down in the original trading floors of the, you know, the exchanges, they did it all with hand signals, and you'd see the orders come in, and they do that. So it's a similar way in which somebody would say.
Well, I'm looking at the screens.
But this has nothing to do with the.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
That's
about.
A market maker screen, so it has nothing to do with market making. So you.
What do I see when that trade hits on the
screen?
You
don't see a trade. You know, you see
a
request.
No, I mean right now.
Okay, so what you would see is you would see a request for quote now, and it would say. What are, you know, there's 10,000.
But they're not doing that yet.
No. And
so I'm asking you, what are they
doing
now?
You wouldn't see anything. It would only be for institutional investors. Or
well,
it would
see,
only be for large.
You see big trades come up on that screen.
Sure.
A lot of
that's spoofing, but okay.
Well, let's not get too far in the weeds on this. So, but, you know, and I can look at the volume that's trading on a minute-by-minute basis, and all of a sudden I'll see a spike of 600 Bitcoin or something like that. Where is that coming from?
Well, that's coming from somebody, but normally that's a spoof trying to push the market
up.
Well,
no, you see it.
It's in the depth. It's in the chart. It's in the.
And all of a sudden you see a big drop in the price.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody goes in and does a market sell where they're just selling at the market, they'll just clean out everything that's, you know, that's got ask or bids and up to the where they're over there selling or buying at. How many
so
coins?
So isn't this that we're talking about meant to prevent
this
some of that?
This is meant to prevent that, yes. So you're actually doing almost like a private auction where you say, you know, I'm not telling you whether I'm buying or selling. That's anonymous. And who you are is anonymous. It's just saying we want to know, we have 10,000 bitcoins here. Where are people buyers? Where are people sellers to take the whole block? And so if you're a buyer and you say, I'll take the whole block at 9,500, and Carol over here is a seller and she goes, I'll sell at 9,800, then you don't know whether I'm buying or selling, but you guys are saying you're willing to buy and sell at those levels, that amount of things. And I can go, okay, I'm selling. And then it goes to Cara. So what it does is it takes the market positioning out allows large dealers to swap between each other.
How much did you, as the person that knows that information, just make?
I didn't make anything. I'm just selling what I have.
Selling it. No, you said this person is willing to sell at 9,500 and she's willing to buy at 9,800.
Yes,
and you're connecting the two.
No. I'm the one that's either buying or selling it. So if I have 10,000,
how does Gemini make the money by knowing?
Oh, they just through the transaction fees.
So they're not. How do they reconcile the 98 and the 9,500?
They don't have to. Is what I'm doing is, let's say I'm doing, it's like a, it's
well,
like
what price did it trade for?
Whatever the deal is. Let's say I sit there and I say, I want to see what people are bidding and asking for it. Because on a normal, you got, what, five or six. There's sometimes there's 25 Bitcoins on there. But if I want to dump 1,500 Bitcoins onto the market, I want to get rid of them. I don't want people to necessarily know that I'm selling them. So what I will do on an exchange is I will get a request for quote. And there's large buyers and large institutional buyers and large institutional sellers. And what a request to go out for is 1,500 Bitcoins. And if you're a buyer of Bitcoin, let's say you're a hedge fund and you're trying to buy Bitcoin, and Kara's a hedge fund and she's trying to sell Bitcoin, you will say, and there's a bunch of other people that are doing the same thing, everybody puts their buy, what they would buy 1,500 Bitcoin for and what they would sell 1,500 Bitcoin. They do not know the person that requested the proposal, or request for quote, is buying or selling. They're getting both sides. And then that person goes, either they say, nope, it's not, you know, if I'm selling and, you know, if I'm selling it, it's not enough, I'm just going to go ahead and cancel it. But if I say, okay, hey, that is my target, I am willing to sell, I just go ahead and hit sell, and then you buy those Bitcoins in a block.
All right.
It sounds a little confusing. Just think of it like an auction almost. It really is an auction. It can go either way.
So being like an auction, somebody's bidding over, somebody's bidding underbidding, and somebody's conceding. Or somebody puts out a bid of 95, and somebody puts a bid of 98. You're going to take the higher bid.
No, well, here, let me. All right, let's forget about the Bitcoin thing. Kara's a rice producer, and you're a rice buyer because you own a company that uses the rice to do whatever. And she's a producer, so she's trying to sell, you're trying to buy. And there's buyers and sellers out there, and I am actually, I come in and I go, listen, I want a request for quote for 10,000 bushels of rice. Now, you don't know if I'm buying or selling. You don't know if I'm a swap dealer.
Right, so we give you whatever.
So you say,
do.
I'm willing to buy at $1.50 a bushel, and she says, I'm willing to sell at $1.75 a bushel, or vice versa. So you're willing to buy at $1.50, she's willing to sell at $1.75. If I'm a buyer, I say, okay, I'm going to buy it from you, and you're obligated then to sell me that bushels. But if I'm a seller, I can go, I'm going to sell it to you, and you're obligated to take that. So what it does is, in small liquid markets where there's not a lot of liquidity, it allows large dealers to swap between each other's anonymity, and not knowing if somebody's buying or selling, but they can get request proposals for both.
Okay. All right. We're deep in the show. We'll probably get to table that for now.
It's a good way. Bottom line, it's a good way to change large amounts of Bitcoin without moving the market.
And to hopefully prevent spoofing.
It's not going to prevent spoofing.
It doesn't explain how we get to the final price, but that will leave
Well, you bid on it. You bid on it.
And see if I digest this correctly. Because Andy has that request for quote, Andy is the one who's actually, to a degree, determining the price with whoever he's buying or selling to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if I was just, if you did not know if I was buying or selling, let's just say I'm selling, and I say I want to sell 500 bushels, and I get proposals for that from five different brokers, and they say, I'm here. I take the highest one. Let's move on.
So what is this going to mean for the development of the market?
Is what it allow it to do is larger institutions and hedge funds trade amongst each other to move large blocks of coins without moving the market and is a market maker. So, it's a good way for, you know, and that's exactly what the Mt. Gox attorney should have done, is he should have done that on a private.
We haven't gotten to that yet. So.
But now the difference between an RFQ and a CBOLE is
we got a lot of things to come. But since we are talking about pricing, might be a good time at this moment, at least according to CoinMarketCap, Bitcoin's trading at 9,349, Ethereum at 685, Litecoin at 151.85. Stellar Lumens, which you've heard about on the show, has had a real good run the past couple of weeks, and we could go on to other. I don't have Bitcoin Cash in front of me, but it's probably around
the market is looking to move higher. It really wants to move higher, and the only challenge with trading these markets is we're already.
Which brings us to the overhang here. After somewhat stabilizing following a rocky start of the year, the price of Bitcoin might be headed for some extreme downtrends, at least according to this analysis, the Mt. Gox trustee appointed to sell the now-defunct exchange's remaining digital coins has moved another substantial block of both Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash from out of cold storage. According to the script monitoring the wallets, 16,000 Bitcoin and an equal number of Bitcoin Cash have been moved from cold storage. Thanks to the transparency of both currencies' blockchains, they can be traced to two addresses. This is the first time that many coins have been moved from the cold wallet since February. On that occasion, the coins were transferred on February 5th. The following day, the price of Bitcoin dropped to the low of the year, around 6,000. If Mt. Gox, of course, was the largest Bitcoin exchange that crashed in 2014, it's been in trusteeship, and the court-appointed trustee is been in controversy for a while. So we have this. It's unclear if 16,000 Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash will hit the open market again. Either currency is still under the contract of the trustee, Kobayashi. It would be in his interest to heed the advice of the cryptocurrency community and sell it at an over-the-counter trading desk, much like Andy was just describing. Previously, the exchange Kraken, an American exchange that was operating in Japan, offered to help with this process. This has been ignored, and there's been other exchanges that have requested and offered to help. So what are your thoughts here? Now, I've heard some people, when I posted this on some of the discussion groups around, people that think they know say, oh, well, the market can absorb the 16,000, it wouldn't have an effect, but you still have $450 million, I think, something like that, in reserve that he hasn't moved yet, and it's telling that this person does not want to use the process that you were talking about to liquidate this. He wants to just dump it on the market, it seems like.
Which blows my mind. I mean, that literally blows my mind.
Is there any incentive whatsoever to him to dump it on the market other than to prove he's a market maker, or is it pure ignorance?
You know what? I'll tell you, there's multiple reasons. It's not his, first of all.
Oh, well, the court, after the last incident, set up not an inquiry, as in a formal inquiry, but wanted him to explain his reasoning and all of this. Now, I thought that wasn't supposed to be completed until September, but I'm taking that from CNBC, so what do they know? Anyway, it's evidently it's been moved somewhere where it can be traded quickly, and one wonders.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I was the attorney there, and I'm just saying, and I had that much out, I'd be telling all my buddies, hey, listen, I'm dumping a bunch of coins. You can pick them up cheap in the market rebound. I mean, you know, and push it right in there and make money off of it because they're not his coins.
Well, let's go to a break, and we're going to come back. We have some audio from both Winklevoss brothers and also from Dan Moorhead, the CEO of Pantera Capital, that is really going to probably be the most candid interview I've heard, certainly on this show, but in my searches on this, on about how a hedge fund manager actually manages some of the problems that Andy was discussing. You're listening to Henry Rain Show. If you're a business owner, you need to start listening right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bite Federal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Rain Show. Or just go to BiteFederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BITE. B-Y-T-E, that's 877-855-2983, or go to BiteFederal.com.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to her every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Again, hoping to see you after the show at the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton. State Road 64 East and Old Main Street, 12th Street West, right there on the corner, the bottom floor of the old Bank of America building. More about Bank of America probably later in this show. I said we had some audio to play for you. We were talking about the Gemini cryptocurrency exchange. I'm going to play a little bit of the Winklevoss brothers. This is not directly talking so much about the block trading, but it was recorded at the same time they were announcing it. And there is some pretty insightful stuff here that we'll take a listen to and maybe stop and comment on. Here they are on courtesy of Bloomberg.
Seen in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies this week. The last time I looked at the price of Bitcoin, which was sometime yesterday, it was below $7,000.
So that was like way back, like a week and a half ago. So actually, before it made about a 40% run from there.
Concerning is that for you, and what do you think is driving the sell-off?
So we remember Bitcoin when it was $8. So we're pretty happy with, I think, the price right now is around $8,000. But we've seen this cycle happen. I've sort of lost track of how much has happened, but probably over 20 times. There's a lot of excitement, new interest, new money entrants come in. It gets a little bit frothy, and then it sort of corrects back. But it always tends to find a floor that's healthier and higher than the previous one, and I think this is going to be the same.
Does the volatility concern you at all, though? Because it seems like it would be difficult to build business plans around an asset that is this volatile.
Well, I think the volatility is a function of it just being such a new global asset class. One of the things we've been working on is we launched a futures contract with the SIBO in December, and it really creates a two-sided market because now...
Okay, so that's December that they started to participate with the futures market. And now they're cooperating 4 months later with NASDAQ. So by any standards outside the crypto world, that would be a super acceleration of business. Cara deals with companies in the more traditional world, and things don't move anywhere near that fast, do they?
Crypto years has nothing on it. On regular business.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, rather.
One month in crypto is like 7 months in the real world. Yeah. So let's keep going here.
People can actually start to short Bitcoin,
right.
But it's still only, you know, about 6 weeks old, the contract. But it's a great step in the direction of price discovery and creating that two-sided nature of the market.
Do you think that futures contract has played a role in the recent price decline?
It's hard to say. I mean, ideally, it does definitely increase price discovery. So we're seeing a price that has more viewpoints and more institutions and sophisticated traders expressing viewpoints on it.
Do you have an idea of what would be a fair price of Bitcoin?
So we've
tough question.
So, yeah, we sort of use the.
So you wonder about some of these Bloomberg journalists. You ever heard of the market?
Yeah, right.
That's like
actually, I watch Bloomberg on Sunday nights just because it's the only show on.
Yeah, you got to find out what's going on in Asia.
Right.
Everybody wants to know about the Asian markets open.
But it's not as fun as watching CNBC. They got all the characters on there, you know.
Although watching the Asian market, So evidently we found the third Bloomberg Sunday night junkie here. Is there a fourth in the house? No.
Oh, we'll get to you.
He's still reading his New York Times.
Well, I'll give him something that he could look for now. Because I think they do it out of Hong Kong, don't they, or Singapore?
I think they're out of both.
They seem to pick their hosts and anchors and journalists to have that ambiguous ethnicity to it. So, you know, like, are you Asian? Or are you just looking a little different than European?
Confession, I don't have a TV, so I only listen to it.
How do you not have a TV?
You're going to start to find really odd things about Carr coming out. Confession.
You watch it on your tablet.
So I actually don't watch it, though. I only listen to it on the radio. I know. Now you guys are good, bad influences on me, I guess.
We're horrible influence.
I believe it's the same show that's on, iTunes Radio, right?
I don't know. I listen to the app on my phone when I'm in the car sometimes. Although it's a pretty sketchy app as far as the buffering and all. Compared to, because I can play CNBC in my car.
Yeah.
And get the video and it doesn't buffer.
I agree. Bloomberg needs to fix that app. I mean.
Yeah, well, let's help Carr a little bit more. So what you need to do.
Get WhatsApp.
Well, besides that.
He has to find the thing.
WhatsApp is a secret. Nobody knows about the secret, much less the Signal or what's the other one we're
Signal.
On now?
If you have Signal, I can hook it up right now.
Well, some of us are on Signal. we just barely pulled Augie onto WhatsApp.
It took me longer
now
to get you
like
off
a teenager.
Okay.
A really ambiguous teenager. But all right. So anyway. Do you have one of those little mounts so when you're using your phone for a GPS?
Yeah.
On your dash?
Yeah.
All right. So then you just hit the button, and you can watch CNBC when you're driving over to Kennedy. And people just think you're looking at directions.
I don't think that's great advice there, Henry.
I'm a rule follower. I am. Oh. I'm an accountant. I'm a rule follower by nature.
Okay. We'll put it below where people can see it. Isn't that what accountants do?
Oh, my goodness.
Bury it down underneath somewhere.
I don't need the visual. What we need is somehow a coordinated messaging service, whatever it may be.
Then you're
and
just
then on
gonna
Sunday
have
night
to
when the Asian market's open, we'll coordinate
tomorrow
and
night.
See if I'm listening to
what
the
time,
same
by
thing.
By the way,
you're
you get up at 4 to work out, or check markets, then you'll work out. What time do you go to bed?
You have been a really bad influence on me, all three of you this week. I was 9 o'clock bedtime. Now I'm still reading news at 11. Yep. That's not the goal. The goal is.
What was it before the bad influences in your life?
What's that?
How much sleep did you get before the bad influences in your life?
I just got back to 7. And now we're hovering around 5.
Okay. When I did the morning drive here, I'd be preparing up till midnight and then get up at 5. At 5 is.
I was going to say.
Overrated.
I can't even think of the last time I had 7 hours of sleep.
I just know. Did I sleep the deepest when there's a crypto move in the market when I should be paying attention?
And you wake up and you got 5 alarms on your phone. You're like, damn it.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we were here, something about the Winklevoss twins. And they were talking to the Bloomberg person that didn't know anything. Let's just jump over here to the futures market and they can get to the hedge fund manager. And then we'll circle back around to something else. This one's short. They were talking about the Bitcoin futures market. So that's what we were talking about. Oh, yes. Before, if Carl would just cooperate and watch the video on Sunday night so that when we talk about the ambiguous ethnicity of this Asian Bloomberg correspondent, you could participate. But no, you had to take us down this whole route about you're a rule follower and you're not going to watch it on your drive over to. We tried to make it simple. Nobody's on the road when you're driving over to Kennedy. All right. Here's the Bitcoin future stuff. Well, just forget the Winklevoss brothers.
Bitcoin futures jumping more than 5% today, topping 9,000 on both the CME and the CBOE. Anthony Crisanti, Bitcoin futures gaining about 8 cents in the last month, too. So what do you think? Does this bounce actually have some legs? Can we hold on to these gains?
Courtney, it looks like it does. The tax selling reasons are over right now. It seems the talk of regulation has kind of been put on the back burner a little bit. There's a little bit of resistance at 94.5, actually a double top there in that area. But I think once it trades through that, it will. We're headed towards 10,000.
You're not that far away from 94.5. Thank you so much, Anthony Grisanti. Appreciate it.
Hi. Actually, by the way, we did test 94.5 early this morning. Sometime when I was struggling to wake up.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice showing a nice outside bar here. Maybe you want to go along there, Henry.
Try a tiki bar. What?
That's what I'm thinking about as a bar.
All right,
margaritas.
So let me put the question to you this way: once you've gotten your head out of the bar, so the futures, increasing volume on the futures market. All these developments, it seems like there's a lot of money. We've been saying this for forever, almost 5 months, and the money's poised to come in. So 5 months times 7, 35 months, we've practically been talking about it for 3 years in real time. But it's 5 months in crypto time. So what's your thoughts, Andy?
Well, you know, I haven't been following the futures market too much because the spreads were so high.
Well, just the fact that the volumes are going up.
The volumes are going up, that's good. I mean, that's good for the space because it'll mean the spreads will narrow and it'll actually be tradable because up until now it's really not been tradable because the spreads are too far.
You tried the mic, Augie.
What's the long range, Andy?
The long range for...
real time.
Real time in December.
Well, what's my target level? In December, I think we retest 21. I think we retest 20 or 21,000.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 2,100, and I was having my heart was in my stomach.
Oops. I meant 21,000.
Keep your zeros straight. My gosh, Andy.
I
would be like, why did you even create Seeking Crypto? Yeah, right. 2,100.
No, I mean, I think, and I'm being conservative there, to be honest with you, Augie. I really think that this market's going to move higher. And North Korea? What? Yeah, but what's that got to do with?
There's a microphone in front of you.
All your markets going to be affected by North Korea.
Yeah,
the new Korea. And ironically, they're going to propose a Nobel Prize for Trump, believe it or not.
And Kim Jong-un and the President Moon.
Well, you know, let's get out of the, you know, let's take the politics out of it. I mean, how many times has North Korea, you know, made these types of deals? I mean, nothing's been...
All right, don't go, because I do have 15 years of history of following this stuff on the radio, so let's not open that up.
No,
the
I'm just saying, putting politics aside, I mean, how many times has the North Korea
there's
made
both
this?
There's reasons that they keep them and reasons they break them.
That's right. So,
and you know, let's not go back and forth. It's like trying to, you know, chicken and egg
about
on that
China.
All about China.
All right. Time. Let's go to a break. We got to break these people up. You see what I deal with, Carr?
You should hear the luncheons after this after the radio show.